Well, good morning. Welcome to Duncan Road Church. It's good to see you in the building, and we welcome those who are watching at home. Well, Acts chapter 2 is our study. We're kind of a week behind the Christian world because they all celebrated Pentecost last week, and we did a little bit, but due to previous studies that we squeezed in on the second coming, we were slightly out of sync, but it doesn't matter. Power can be used in two ways. You can unleash it, or you can harness it even. If I had a can of petrol and I dropped a match to it, you would have an explosion. It would be explosive. But if I took the same petrol and fed it through a car engine, it wouldn't explode in the same way, but it would empower that car to go somewhere. Explosions are spectacular, but control burns have a much longer lasting effect. Well, the Holy Spirit came, and we see him in operation in both those ways. He exploded in Acts chapter 2. Everyone was aware of his coming. His presence was like a rushing wind, and they saw tongues of fire on people's heads. But also, he came to empower God's people so that they can continue the Christian journey empowered and actually go to their final destination well. So we're going to look at Acts chapter 2 together in the service. We're here to enjoy the Lord, to worship the Lord. We can't verbally sing yet. That time is fast approaching, we believe. But we can hum along or sing quietly under our masks or just enjoy the music. So let's worship the Lord together.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky, told every lightning bolt where it should go, or seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow. Who imagined the sun and gives source to its light, yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of night. Can fathom, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing.
We have a great God. When the sun shines and you go for a walk in outside and or you just sit in the garden, we had someone pop round in the week and we were chatting in the garden and you could hardly hear yourself speak because of the bird songs in the bushes around us. They were really going for it. And it just makes you appreciate what a great world we still have. Yes, there's a lot of sadness, there's a lot of misery, there's a lot of suffering, but there's also a lot of beauty. So let's link our hearts together. Let's worship the God of creation. Lord, you are indescribable, so we're not even going to attempt to get to who you are in any great depth. We're always in the shallow end when it comes to knowing you and knowing about you. But you have revealed yourself to us in your word and given us so many clues and insights as to your majesty. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Lord, we can declare your name this morning. We want to say, great is the Lord, great and greatly to be praised. Lord, you have set your glory in the heavens. There is no one in the whole universe that compares to you. You are out of this world in every sense of that expression. Even children and infants can know you, your word tells us. Lord, that is incredible to think that the indescribable, the eternal, the God we can never fully comprehend can reveal himself to children and to babies. And even from the sound of a baby's gurgling and cries, you receive praise. Lord, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Lord, you are always the victorious God. You are always the winner. And men may seem to win the battle, but you will always win the war. And Lord, as we see misery and selfishness and greed and injustice in our world, help us to take hope that one day these things will be reconciled, that these wicked men and women will give an account for their deeds, and justice will be again on this earth. But this morning we pray for those troubled spots. Again, we pray for the Near East and the ongoing problem of Israel and Palestine. Lord, bring and help and bless the peacemakers, we pray. For the Congo, Lord, where again they've had this devastation just this week, we pray for the situation there. We pray for the aid workers that are taking relief. Bless them and help them, we pray. Protect them. And may the aid get to those who need it the most. Lord, we thank you that we can consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. Lord, we live in a world full of so much beauty. Help us today, perhaps, just to take time to enjoy the color of a flower, the scent of a flower, the song of a bird. Just something, Lord, that you have made that reflects a little bit of your majesty. Lord, you have made mankind. You are mindful of them. Incredible to think that the God who is eternal and all-powerful should be concerned about human beings. At times, Lord, we feel just like a statistic, one of 8 billion people on the planet. And yet, Lord, you know us by name. Even the hairs on our head are numbered. You take note every time we stand and every time we sit. Lord, you are mindful of us. And we thank you that despite the fall, we are still the pinnacle of your creation. You have made us above the animals that roam in the fields and the fish that swim in the sea and the birds that fly in the air. Lord, you have made us to know you and to enjoy you. And help us to do that this day. And if you spare us this week. And with the psalmist, Lord, we say, oh Lord, our Lord, thank you that you are not a distant God, but in and through the person of Jesus Christ, you have made yourself known to us. And we want to sing of your majesty and declare your goodness this morning. Amen. 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 Well, let's have a think. Oh yeah, last week you got the goodies because you made some choices. And if you chose well, you got some goodies from the box. If you chose badly, you still got some goodies at the end, so it wasn't a problem. I thought this week, instead of you getting the goodies, someone else could get the goodies. Now, this week, I have sent emails, I have sent texts, I have sent letters, I've even sent a parcel. So I'm in a sending mood. And that ties in with Acts chapter 2, our passage. Because God sent his Holy Spirit. And just like people received my emails, my texts, my letters, my parcels, Christians receive the Holy Spirit when they become followers of Jesus. And I thought, well, you got your goodies last week. Who could we send something to this week? Well, last week we had Solomon. Move on. We had Solomon as our little missionary item. Solomon lives in England. He's based in Dorset, but he spends a lot of time in India, working amongst people in India. And we thought about Solomon, and Solomon is in a dangerous situation because COVID is still very strong in India. And I thought, what could we send him to cheer him up? And I've got four choices, and I need the children especially, but you can all do it, to vote on what I'm going to send Solomon this week. Okay? So here's your first choice. I could send him a pair of socks, because I'm sure he's got smelly feet, but he probably wears sandals, and socks and sandals is not a good look. Sorry, Colin, it's not a good look, okay? And India is very hot, so would he want socks? I don't know. If you want to vote for socks in a minute, you vote for socks. Oh, I've got a cuddly toy because he's missing Rachel, his wife, and his grandkids. So rather than just cuddle up to his pillow, if we send him a cuddly toy, he's got something to hold on to. I have got a little pot of travel money, because when you got money, you could buy anything you want. You could buy an ice lolly. You could buy some tablets if your tummy's upset. You could buy some food if you're hungry. Oh, and then I've got a book of beards. Because look at his beard there. It's very boring, isn't it? It's just a kind of a goatee, and it's quite grey. So he could dye it, or he could shape it. So those are your choices. And whatever you choose, Solomon's going to get in the post over the next week or two. So I need a hands up if you're brave enough, especially the children, because this is your spot here. I want to see you vote. So who thinks we should send him socks? Anyone? You can only vote for one. One of the four. Who thinks we should send him socks? No one. Who thinks we should send him a cuddly toy? Is anyone awake out there? No one. Who thinks we should send him money? Oh, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Lots. Okay, who thinks we should send him a book of how to shape your beard? One, two, three, four, five. It's good, but it's not good enough. So we're going to send Solomon some money this week to help him in India. Okay, one other person, my daughter. I'm missing her. She's in Bristol at the university there. What could we send her this week? And I've got, again, four choices that I want you to choose from. We have, by that thinking of you, that is a box of cakes that come in the post. Cupcakes. So we could send her some cupcakes to eat. Next to it is some beauty products. So she could put some smelly stuff in the bath and soak and rub cream in. So you've got cupcakes, beauty products. And then I've got a rainbow box. And in that rainbow box, which is to brighten up your day, is a little verse of encouragement. And there's a little bottle of rainbow seeds. And if you plant those seeds, you get different coloured flowers, the colours of the rainbow, growing. So that's something she could put on a windowsill, and that would keep her as a reminder over the next few weeks that we're thinking of her and we remember her. So you've got to vote again. Only three to choose this time. Okay, who's going for the cupcakes? Oh, one, two, three, four. Oh, Alan's undecided. Four. Oh, five. Five going for cupcakes. Very popular. Who's going for the smellies, the beauty stuff, the body shop, bubble bath and pongy stuff? No one. Who's going for the rainbow box? Oh, one, two, three. Loads of you. Okay. In that case, we'll send Solomon some money and we'll send Kathy the rainbow box. Now, God promised to send the Holy Spirit. And today in Acts chapter 2, we will be thinking of how he came, and why did God send him? He sent him for a reason, to empower us, to change us, to help us discover more about Jesus. But just like those gifts, when they come in the post, you either receive them or you say no thank you, and they go back to the sender. And God wants to send his Spirit into our lives, and we have a choice to receive him or to keep him at arm's length. You'll discover more about that upstairs, and we're going to discover more about that downstairs. Now, we're going to read from God's Word, the Holy Bible. If you haven't got a Bible, don't panic. We'll pop it on the screen. It's found in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. That's the old-fashioned way of saying verses, I believe, okay? or the misspelling way. We've had a little tradition during lockdown that we kind of stand for the Bible reading, so let me encourage you to stand up. One, it allows you to stretch your legs, but two, we're allowed to read together, and that will allow you to speak up nice and clear. And I'll read a verse, and then you read a verse, okay? So the little numbers are the Bible verse. The big number there, two, is chapter 2 of the book of Acts, and then we'll read a verse each. So, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all those who are speaking Galileans?
Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?
Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia. Both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues."
Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?"
Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Please be seated. I remember the old Roy Castle cartoon strips that we used to show at Kids Club, and when they do Acts chapter 2, Roy Castle puts in the line, "Don't be daft, lads, the pubs aren't open yet, it's only 11 o'clock in the morning." Funny how people interpret things in different ways. Now, we've had an update from our little girl. Anyone remember the name of this young lady? Penny, a bit louder? Do you want to grab the mic and come up, and you can pray for her if you want in a minute, because you can pronounce her name. Good. Anyone know where Ishimwe comes from? Abby?
Rwanda.
And we sponsored this little girl, as far as I can remember, ever since she was kind of born, growing up. She's got a birthday this week, is it, Alistair? 23rd of June. So coming up soon. And we've sent her a card and a gift, okay? But it might be nice if we just pray for her. So do you want to pray for a pen? Thank you.
Shall we pray for Ishimwe? Without my mask on. Thank you, David. Father God, I thank you that you care about every detail of our lives. Lord, the bits that we share with others, the bits that we keep to ourselves, I thank you that each one of us is precious to you. Thank you for the opportunity that we have had to show Ishimwe that she is precious to you too, just through sending her gifts and money and letters and photos and encouraging her. Lord, I pray that you would be part of her life, that she would get to know you as her own special friend. Pray for her family. Pray for them as they perhaps are struggling with the COVID situation, with work, with schooling, all the everyday strains and stresses that they experience. We ask they would turn to you to ask for help and support, knowing that there are people across the world that care about them and are praying for them, that show them love. Thank you for all the time and effort that Alistair has put into maintaining that contact. Please bless him too. So, Father God, we pray for Ishimwe this morning. Lord, may that little girl know your love deep in her heart. Amen.
And we'll pop the card on the table if you want to catch up on the photo, and if you've got your phone, take a little picture of it, and you can pray for her this week. Next Sunday, I'm not here, but Neil Maddock is, and Neil will be leading our service and picking up on Peter's first sermon in Acts chapter 2, and there'll also be a communion as part of our worship, so do come along next week and support Neil, but more importantly, come into the presence of God and listen to what the Lord has to say. Now, we'll have one more song, and then the little ones will go to explorers. One of the ways we express our faith is through prayers, it's through readings, it's through studying God's word, but it's also through music as we worship God. And we worship God in a variety of different ways, with songs old and new. We started with a more modern song, and this is a more traditional song, but it's to do with the Holy Spirit, and it's a nice prayer to pray as we come into God's presence. Amen. Well, explorers, you're going upstairs to explore, and we'll see you later. Like I say, it won't be too long before we can actually sing the songs, and it won't be too long before we can enjoy a cup of tea and a cup of coffee again at the end of a service. And don't forget, coming up in July is our church barbecue, which will go ahead, all being well, on July the 4th. So you're welcome to put that in your diaries and join us. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit is given. See you later. Think he wants to stay? Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. Some of you know I like to drink the black nectar, and there is nothing better than a good cup of fresh coffee. I love the aroma, I love the taste. I agree with the person who said tongue-in-cheek, coffee isn't a drug, it's a vitamin. And I'm well-stocked on my coffee vitamin. Now, as a connoisseur of coffee, I have to say I'm not a big fan of Starbucks. They are kind of least on my list of coffee chains if I have to go to one. But I did read in the papers or online this week a little story about Starbucks that I thought I would share just as an opening illustration. Since 2012, they have opened 45 of what they call mini-cafs. Cafs that are made out of recycled lorry containers. So they have three recycled lorry containers, and they are more environmentally friendly. They use less water, less electricity, and they can be erected quite quickly. Although they're a bit naughty, because once they're established, they knock them down and put a big cafe up. So it looks like it's good for the environment, but it isn't always. But here's the reason the article caught my eye, and I'm sharing it with you this morning. This is what a spokesman from Starbucks said. These containers are reclaimed, refurbished, renewed, and revived. Reclaimed, refurbished, renewed, and revived. Now that sounds to me what God does in a person's life. That's what God does whenever someone becomes a Christian. They are reclaimed, refurnished, renewed, and revived. And in Acts chapter 2, the disciples are reclaimed and refurbished. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he will renew them on the inside and revive them as well. And for that to happen, it takes more than just meeting together. It takes more than just studying the Bible. It took more than just having communion. They need the inward power of the Holy Spirit to transform them. And that's what happens in Acts chapter 2. Tim Downs writes these words, "Watches, cars, and Christians can all look chromed and shiny. But watches don't tick, cars don't go, and Christians make no difference with our insides. And for a Christian, that's the Holy Spirit." So for these reclaimed, refurnished disciples to be renewed and revived, they must wait for the Holy Spirit. Now, we've noted in previous studies that Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. In John's Gospel, chapters 14, 15, and 16, John records in those three chapters the longest discourse, the longest teaching section of Jesus, and it is on the person of the Holy Spirit. As Christians, we believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not three gods, one God. Now, if you say that's not good maths, one and one and one equals three. No, one times one equals one. Infinity plus infinity plus infinity equals infinity. So I could do the maths as well as you. You cannot understand God, but he has revealed himself in the Bible this way. In the beginning, God, the very first of the Bible. And the word for God is plural, not singular. We have one God, in one in essence, three in persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, I can't explain it to you. I could give you illustrations, but any illustration could be stretched and made to look silly. But the Bible reveals to us there is one God, one in essence, three in persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus, who is the Son of God, who came into this world, promised that when he left, the Holy Spirit would come. And that's the events of Acts chapter 2. He promised another helper who, unlike Jesus, wouldn't just be alongside the disciples. He would actually be in the disciples. And Jesus made that promise. He reiterated it in Acts chapter 1, verses 5 and 8. And here in Acts chapter 2, what we call Pentecost Sunday, these events take place. Now listen. This is more than a history lesson of something that happened 2,000 years ago. Because every Christian, when a person becomes a Christian, and remember, you're not a Christian because you're English. You're not a Christian because you go to church. You're not even a Christian if you were baptized as a baby. That's just something that happened outwardly. Water may have been poured on your head. A Christian is someone who comes to an understanding in their own heart and mind that there's a God who cares for them. That God has sent his son Jesus, who died on a cross 2,000 years ago. Facts in history. But, and this is where faith comes in, Jesus taught that he would give his life a ransom, an offering, a sacrifice for many. In other words, he was given his perfect life as a payment for guilty people. Just like if you're all in debt and I'm in debt, you can't help me because we're all in debt. But if you're in debt and I'm in credit, I can then help you because I'm in credit while you're in debt. And the perfect Son of God, who was always in credit, gave his life to pay the debt of our sin when he died upon a cross. And when a person understands that and says, God, I understand some of it, but as an act of faith, I'm going to put my trust in you. Come into my life and change me. Turn me around. Then God comes in the person of the Holy Spirit. We are all baptized in one baptism, the Bible says, not of water, but via the Holy Spirit who comes into us. For example, this is what the New Testament says, Ephesians 1:13. You were included in Christ. How? When you heard the message of truth. You either heard a sermon or you read the Bible, you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, not when you behaved. No one can earn their way to heaven. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Again, 1 Corinthians 12:13. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. In other words, it doesn't matter if you're a man, a woman, a slave or a free person, intellectual or stupid. It doesn't matter who you are in society, rich or poor. If you put your trust in Jesus, you are included in the family of God. We are many, but we come together and we are his body. And we all receive that one Holy Spirit. He is a person. You can't receive part of him. You receive him as a whole or not at all. Now let's look at this chapter in three headings. Here's the first one. It was called the Day of Pentecost. The Day of Pentecost. First one, when the Day of Pentecost came. Now some dates, of course, are very well known. You all know the 25th of December, Christmas Day. You probably all know November the 5th. Bonfire night. You all know February the 14th. Come on, we all look at the letterbox. Valentine's Day. July the 16th. My birthday, okay. You ought to know it. No cards, no presents, just cash, all right? Some days are meant to be remembered, some days aren't. If you were Jewish, the Day of Pentecost was an important day. It was a red letter day on your calendar. Jewish men especially had to celebrate three big festivals. Passover, a reminder they were slaves in Egypt, but God gave them freedom and liberty and took them to the promised land. There was Pentecost. We'll look at what that means in a moment. And then there was the Festival of Tabernacles or Booths. To remind them that during that 40-year period, they lived in kind of tents or shelters that they made. Now, this is the festival, Pentecost, that's mentioned in verse 1. One of the big three that they had to celebrate. And if possible, you got to Jerusalem to celebrate it. Now, Christians didn't invent the term Pentecost. The word means 50. They borrowed it from Greek-speaking Jews. Just like today, you go anywhere in the world, people read English. At the time of the New Testament, you could go anywhere in the then-known world, and the language of literature was Greek. Even the Jews had translated their Hebrew Old Testament into Greek, the Septuagint, at the time of Jesus. And the word for Pentecost there is the word 50. 50 days. Something happened, I can't remember now off the top of my head. They were to count 50 days and then to celebrate this festival. If I looked at the right page, it would help me know what I'm on about, wouldn't it? So they, from the end of Passover to Pentecost, just like you might count the days between Christmas Day and New Year's Day. And that's what they did. So Passover finished, 50 days later, Pentecost. Now, why was it important? For two reasons. Agricultural, it was like a harvest festival, giving thanks to God for the good things he'd done. Now, it's good to celebrate agriculture. I recommend that all young people get a degree in agriculture. It allows them to work in a variety of fields when they grow up. Grown. Now, Passover, Shavuot, as it was known in Hebrew, was a harvest festival. Give thanks to God for the harvest. Secondly, it had a historical meaning. It goes back to Exodus chapter 20 when God gave the law and the people received it. And if you were Jewish, you always receive the law. God gives it, you receive it. In other words, you always have the attitude that whenever you read the law, you're getting something fresh from it. They never just turned up to synagogue and heard the scroll being read, they came to receive from the law. And I guess as Christians, whenever we pick up a Bible, we ought to come with the attitude, what am I going to receive from it? It's not just there to fill our heads with information. Do I allow it to impact my life? Now, symbolically, agriculture and history was important. Agriculturally, on this day, 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost became Christians, followers of Jesus. That's some harvest. That's some harvest. But also, the law was given. And on the day of Pentecost, instead of the law, the Spirit was given. And as Christians, we are not under the law. The Old Testament was given to Jewish people in a Jewish covenant, a Jewish relationship. Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament, so we live under a new covenant. We're not bound by the law. That's why you can enjoy a bacon sandwich or a ham sandwich. We're not under the law. We are under grace, under the Spirit. So very symbolically, Pentecost reminded the people, hey, on this day, a great harvest was made. And secondly, God took us away from the law and put us under a new covenant. So that's why Pentecost was important. Secondly, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Listen to verse 2. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, the Holy Spirit is someone we meet right at the beginning of the Bible. Even in creation, we're told that when God created the world, the Spirit of God was hovering above the abyss. So we read about him in creation. We read about him in people's lives, like Samson. Every boy knows the story of Samson. I don't think Samson was a kind of a bodybuilder type figure. I think he was a bit of a skinny weed. If he was full of muscles, then no one would question where did he get his strength from. They'd say, well, he goes to the gym, he pumps iron. But he could do incredible things. Why? Because the Spirit of God came upon him. As that was the pattern for the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament, we read about the Spirit in various ways. We read about him in the life of Jesus. But here at Pentecost, two big changes would happen. First, the Holy Spirit would indwell people and not just rest upon them. For Samson, the Spirit of God came on him, he did his mighty strength, and the Spirit left him. That was the Old Testament pattern. Remember David, when he sinned, he slept with Bathsheba, committed adultery. His biggest fear was this, that he would lose the Spirit of God. Take not your Spirit from me, Lord. Let it remain on me, because he would come and he would go. But now, because of Pentecost, he will be with you forever. Forever. Permanent, not temporary. John Stott writes these words. Without the Holy Spirit, Christian discipleship would be inconceivable, even impossible. There can be no life without the life giver, no understanding without the Spirit of truth, no fellowship without the unity of the Spirit, no Christ-likeness of character apart from his fruit, and no effective witness without his power. As a body without breath is a corpse, so the church without a spirit is dead. We need the Spirit, and he came. He came to indwell us, and he came to be with us permanently, permanently. And we received that Spirit at our conversion. Now, there are many fillings of the Spirit, but there's only one baptism. Now, notice three astonishing things that accompanied the Spirit of God. Three evidences that show the Holy Spirit had come. First of all, there is audible evidence. Verse 2. A noise came like the blowing of a violent wind. It wasn't the wind. It sounded like a violent wind. Have you ever been next to an airport when a jumbo jet takes off and you go, whoa, and you hear the noise and you kind of can almost feel the noise? Maybe it was that kind of experience. Audible evidence. There was visible evidence. There appeared to be tongues of fire resting on them. To their amazement, it looked like they had flames on their heads. Hey, this Holy Spirit would set them afire, literally. And then thirdly, there is spoken evidence in verse 4, spoken evidence. They began to speak in other languages, previously unknown to them. Whereas the noise and the fire were both external manifestations, imagine the surprise when you open your mouth as a preacher and there's someone from Italy and they can understand you, and there's someone from Egypt and they can understand you, and there's someone from Greece and they can understand you. In fact, we had 15 nationalities mentioned, 15 different people groups, and every one of those people groups heard the message in their own language. I was in a meeting last night. Some of you know I go to Moldova. We had a meeting about Moldova last night, and there was a couple out in Moldova being interviewed. And Mark McCormack, who was leading the interview, would talk to them in Moldovan, listen to their answer, and then talk to us in English, explain it. Then he would talk back in Moldovan or Romanian, and so he acted as an intermediary. No need for that on the day of Pentecost. This was miraculous. This was supernatural. I would love when I go to a foreign country just to be able to talk and everyone understands me. It doesn't happen normally. It was an incredible, miraculous sign. They spoke in other tongues, in other languages. And the key bit is, they didn't speak for their own blessing. They spoke so that others would understand them. It was for the blessing of others, not for themselves. I love the fact that God can speak their language. In 1917, William Cameron Townsend was passing out Spanish Bibles in Guatemala. And an Indian from the Caquichil tribe came up, and they had their own dialect. They didn't speak Spanish. And this Indian said to Cameron Townsend, "If your God is so big, why can't he speak my language?" Good question. And that really got into the mind and the psyche of William Townsend. And he went away and started a group called SIL. Today, it's known as Wycliffe Bible Translators. And they translate the Bible from its original languages into the language of nations all around the world. God can speak our language. He's not like the God of the Quran wrapped up in Aramaic. And if you want to hear him, you must learn Aramaic. He's the God who can speak any language. The message of the gospel is for all people of all nations. Now let's look at the final bit. The reaction of the crowd. The reaction of the crowd. So there's been three signs as to what's happened. Three unique things. Audible evidence, visible evidence, spoken evidence. What did the crowd make of it? Well, there's various reactions. First of all, confusion. Look at verse 5. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard the language, their own language being spoken. Confusion. Do you ever get confused? I read this week about the artist Pablo Picasso, who on one occasion, someone broke into his French home and stole a painting. When the police asked him to describe the person who took it, he said, "Better than that, I'll draw you a picture." So the police are currently looking for a thief who resembles a mother superior, a government minister, a washing machine, and a cross also of the Eiffel Tower. Confusion. You know, many people get confused when it comes to Christianity. When it comes to this event, when it comes to Christianity, the heart of Christianity is the message of the Bible, the gospel. That's the key bit. Christ died, Christ rose. If we repent, if we turn around and put our trust in him, he can change our lives. That's the heart of Christianity. Everything else is secondary. singing songs, even, how can I put it? They are the fruit of Christianity, but the root of it is the gospel message, the gospel message. These people are confused. People speak in our language, it doesn't make sense. Second reaction, amazement, verse 7. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all those who are speaking Galileans? Now you realize that Jesus had 12 disciples. Only one of them was a southerner. The other 11 were northerners. They came from the north of the country. The one southerner was Judas, so forget him. Judas is out of the equation. So when the 11 disciples rush out and they stand up and they start to speak, they're all from Galilee in the north. They've all got strong accents. If you compare it to England, they're all sounding like Geordies or Mackens. And to the posh people of Jerusalem, who look down on those northerners, look at what they've done to our language. It's disgraceful. They couldn't handle it. They were amazed. How can these northerners, these uneducated people, speak in a language that everyone can understand? The third reaction, curiosity, verses 8 to 12. Then how is it that each of us hear in our own language? 15 groups mentioned. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue. Curiosity causes the crowd to be amazed. And they want to search, they want to know more. And then fourthly, the fourth reaction, verse 13, denial. Some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine. Some would believe, because if you go to the end of the chapter, verse 41, 3,000 people become followers of Jesus. And you'll look at that in next week's study. But others mocked. They're drunk, listen to them, babbling on. Sometimes if you hear someone speak another language, it doesn't make sense to you unless you're tuned in to that language. It just sounds like a load of nonsense, a load of mumbo jumbo. You know, if that's the best they could offer, they're drunk, then it must be powerful alcohol that helps you speak another language. You know, when I preach abroad, I mentioned I have an interpreter. Wouldn't it be great if you just have two bottles of wine and that was sorted out? But you and I know it doesn't work like that. A poor excuse, but sometimes when you reject the truth, you grasp hold of straws. And your reason for rejection is often poor when it's examined. In conclusion, just two things as we finish. First of all, let me emphasize again, every Christian has the Holy Spirit. Let me quote John Scott. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit because the Bible says if you haven't got the Spirit of God, you're not of God. And here's the good news. A doctor gets no more of the Holy Spirit than, say, a converted tramp. An adult gets no more of the Holy Spirit than, say, a child. A famous Christian like Stuart Townend or Billy Graham or George Mueller gets no more of the Holy Spirit than an ordinary Christian like Gordon Curley or Penny Curley or Rose McCann. We all get the same Spirit. D.L. Moody said, I believe firmly that the moment our hearts are emptied of pride and selfishness and ambition and everything that is contrary to God's law, the Holy Spirit will fill every corner of our hearts. But if we are full of pride and conceit and ambition and the world, there is no room for the Spirit of God. We must be emptied before we can be filled. We all get the same Spirit. It's what we allow Him to do in our lives that makes a difference. And the Bible says every Christian should be filled with the Spirit. It's a command in the New Testament. After this one incident, you never read of the baptism of the Spirit again in the book of Acts. You read about the filling of the Spirit, as far as I'm aware. He comes to fill us. And the command in Ephesians 5:18 is don't get drunk on wine. That just leads to a wrong living. Be filled with the Spirit. It's a commandment. Let me finish by just saying one quote from John R.W. Stott. who says this in his book. He talks about an archbishop, William Temple, and he writes these words. William Temple said, "It is no good giving me a play like Hamlet or King Lear and telling me to write a play that Shakespeare could write. He could do it, I can't. It's no good showing me a life like that of Jesus and telling me to live like that. Jesus could do it, I can't. But if the genius of Shakespeare could come and live in me, and if I could write plays like his, and if the spirit of Jesus would come and live in me, then I could live a life like his." Why does God give us the Holy Spirit? There's a clue in the name: to make us holy, to set us apart from the world in which we live, that we might live like Christ to those we encounter. Let's pray. Lord, we've covered a lot of ground today. Help us to take in that which is applicable. Help us to chew these things over, but more importantly, help us to be those who allow you to fill our lives afresh. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to just take time to sing one more song or listen to one more song. You can hum along if you like, and it'll be on the screen.
Trust in your unfailing love.
the message of the Bible, isn't it? That the eternal God wants to work in our lives. That's incredible. And he can do when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Well, it's great to see you here. I hope you're fully, you'll be back next week. Do pray for Neil as he prepares. And do prepare your own heart, as I'm sure you do each week. Let's conclude with a prayer, shall we? Let's stand. I say this little benediction. Our service is over. Don't feel you have to rush off. Stand and chat in the car park. It's good to get to know each other a little bit. Let's pray. May you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Thank you. Enjoy your day.